Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox, and we've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about where you should put your money with NBA futures amid all of the Kyrie drama. We're also going to talk Stanley Cup Finals, Game 5 tonight. Is it worth putting any money on the Lightning to win this series? And of course, I will give you my Mox Locks. But before we get started, let's welcome back in Danny Brasco to the show. He is a handicapper extraordinaire, and he's going to drop some knowledge. Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Katie. There's a lot to cover looking at the landscape of the NBA, the draft, the trade buzz. I can't wait to get into it with you. So let's do it.
All right, but before we get started, I'm going to give you my Mox thought of the day. We've got Game 5 tonight of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Avs are on the brink of winning it all. They are up 3-1 in this series with a thrilling Game 4 win in overtime. But do the Lightning have a comeback in them? Right now, their odds are at plus 850 on Caesars Sportsbook to win the series. Now, these are the two-time champions coming back for their third, but I would say no, they are not worth putting money on in this series, possibly in this game at plus 155. We do know that closeout games are hard to win, but if we look at the Avalanche at home this season, they're 7-2-0 at home in the postseason. They are 59-13 straight up in their last 72 games at home as a favorite. They're averaging about 4.44 goals per game at home. And if you look at where the odds are, Caesars Sportsbook right now has them at minus 180 to win this game. Typically, home ice advantage is about 40 points on the money line. You'll see it about minus 140. If you're not so familiar with hockey betting, you will get about 40 cents on the money line for home ice advantage. If you look at this in football terms, it's the same as getting the 3-point home field advantage against the spread. Games 1 and Game 2 were both at minus 140. If you look back to Game 4, they were both at minus 110. So this is a huge swing here. It's a 70-point swing. It's obvious to me that the books think, certainly at Caesars, that the Avs are going to win this game and close it out. I think that's where the money is. Also, you know that I'm on Avs to win in 5 for this to go 5 games, so I've already got some money riding on that one. That is my Mox thought.
Presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. Download and get started with a risk-free bet of up to $15. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, heading back in to Capper's Corner, we're going to welcome back in Danny Brasco. Danny, you heard what I had to say about Game 5 tonight. Do you think that the two-time champs have a prayer in this series at a lot of money? It's plus 850.
Plus 850, appealing, but no way, Jose. The Lightning are zapped. And I mean, it's just the way that they've lost in the games, right? Each team has a blowout win on their resume during this series, but the other two games that make the 3-1 difference are both overtime losses for the Lightning. That's so deflating. In game one, okay, it's a long series. You drop the first OT, sucks, but you got time to make it up. Game four was like their game seven almost. Like they could have made it 2-2 and taken both games on home ice. That's what you do. You're supposed to win at home. They dropped that one in OT. Also with a missed call, Kadri on the ice. Did McKinnon get back in time? Looks pretty bad. Looks kind of egregious. It's just too deflating. I know they're back-to-back champs, but you lose in that fashion. You're getting outshot like crazy. They don't have the guns for it. This one's over.
I agree with you 100%. If I was going to put my money on anything, it would be on Vasilevskiy. Obviously, that guy has just been an incredible goalie. He had some insane saves in the last game. I'll probably get into that a little bit later, but if I had to put money on Tampa Bay, it would really only be on the goaltender. But let's move on and let's talk some NBA. It looks like Kyrie could be on his way out in Brooklyn. Surprise, surprise. And reports are that KD is actually considering all of his options, but he hasn't told the Nets that he would seek a trade if Kyrie is out. Right now, if we look at the futures odd on Caesars Sportsbook, Brooklyn has the second best odds to win the East at plus 300, right behind the Celtics at plus 270. And third is the Bucks at plus 340, followed by the 76ers and the Heat, both at 700. So here's my question to you, Danny. With the Nets' future in flux, which Eastern Conference future makes the most sense to you right now?
So, man, Kyrie's really shaking up this entire conference. The soap opera continues. And we talked about it on episode one. I'm interested in the Miami Heat very much still. Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra just create amazing basketball culture. They finished first in the East. You made a lot of money on them this past season, you were mentioning. And the trade rumors are about for Joel Embiid. They're also about for Kyrie Irving. Now, I don't know if I love that because Kyrie can sort of be a little bit of an enigma, and that's being pretty generous in that description of him. But yes. I think he's mentioned Miami as one of the possible sign and trade destinations if it doesn't work out in Brooklyn, which honestly, seemingly doesn't look like it's going to work out. You saw the list of teams. It's half the NBA. It's like he put the Nets as his safety school and he's ready to go anywhere else, right? I think if Miami lands him, that's maybe the one place that he could clean up his act and just be that scorer that they need, right? At plus 700, you're thinking of Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving. The one thing that he felt like they were missing was that offensive firepower. They had everything else.
Yeah.
They just need buckets. So the potential to Kyrie go there, a lot of those core guys coming back, Spo, Riley, give me the Heat plus 700. That feels good.
I like that. And like you said, I made a lot of money on the Heat. I still think they were the most disrespected team in all of the Eastern Conference, or maybe even all of the NBA last year. And what I like about them is that they didn't have a lot of their core players for a majority of the season, yet they still found ways to win. So I agree with you. I think it's laughable that they keep putting the Nets so high in the odds. It's like three seasons now of us thinking they're going to be great and then them going out pretty early on in the playoffs. I the Kyrie drama is so much. And I know that he has all of these teams that he potentially wants to go to, but none of the teams that he wants to go to have the cap space for them. So they'd have to move around a lot or give up some really good players in order to get him. And I just don't know if that is a player that you can trust on your roster. The KD thing is interesting to me. I'll be interested to see how that shakes out. But if I'm looking at the Eastern Conference right now, I have to go with the Bucks. And you said it yourself on Monday, the best player in the NBA next to Steph Curry is Giannis, the Greek freak. So the Bucks were eliminated, obviously, in their quest to repeat as NBA champs, mostly because Chris Middleton was out with injury. He was sidelined with that knee issue. But Giannis and Drew Holiday, they're going to be hungry to get back, and they're locked up. They're not going anywhere. There is some, you know, Bobby Portis obviously going into free agency, but I think the Bucks are going to be healthy this next year. I think they're going to be hungry, and I think if they were healthy this year, they would have gone a lot further. I think we would have seen Warriors and Bucks in the NBA Finals, and it would have been a very interesting matchup. So I'm going to take the Bucks at plus 340. But let's talk Lakers, right? Everybody's favorite subject to talk about, I feel like, is the Lakers. So if we're sticking to Kyrie and this NBA drama, Woj reported that the Lakers are the most significant threat in landing Irving. A LeBron-Kyrie Irving union could be spicy. So right now, you could get the Lakers at plus 1,600, which is ginormous, to win the next title this year. So that's tied for seventh best odds with the Sixers, the Heat, the Grizzlies, and the Mavs. So would you put your money on LA?
Katie, I wouldn't put a hay penny on the Los Angeles Lakers to win the NBA title for these exact reasons. I mean, they were in disarray last season. You're going to tell me that landing Kyrie would help things? That's like adding the most dramatic character to a soap opera. It's only going to get crazier, right? That's like when they bring the guy back that you thought died in the episode. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's just going to get crazy in there. Le GM, LeBron, who basically crafts his teams every year, bungled this one, getting Russell Westbrook. That team just didn't make sense, Katie. It's like putting a puzzle piece together and the pieces just aren't connecting, right? Like functionally, the team didn't work. So I don't know where they go from here. They have a lot of reworking to do. Of course, thinking about this on paper, LeBron, AD, Kyrie, all healthy, all together, that sounds insane. That sounds championship caliber. But Kyrie Irving played less than 50% of the games last season. AD is always hurt. We know Charles Barkley likes to call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis. Stephen A. Smith eviscerated Kyrie Irving on First Take recently about his lack of accountability, reliability, the way he undermines coaches. So I don't see it in LA. I don't know how you bring them there to the big market with all the spotlight. It only gets worse. So they got a lot of stuff to figure out politically, relationship-wise, and translating into basketball, it doesn't make sense. So I'll take my money and put it in my savings account, my 401k, or make a donation to charity. Don't bet it on the Lakers.
I agree with you 100%. And for all the points that you just said, like what's happening with the Lakers right now is they're just a complete mess. And LeBron, great player, not so great as a GM. He brought all these oldie but goodies in and it really didn't work out. You made a good point about Russell Westbrook as well. He really just fell off offensively. And we know that he kind of blamed it or had some problems with their coach, Frank Vogel. They did bring in a new coach, Darvin Ham. Obviously, we know that he won a ring with the Bucks a couple years ago. So while they're getting some new blood in there, like you said, AD just cannot stay healthy. And LeBron also missed 26 games last year. So it's hard for him to stay healthy. So I could see maybe in a few years, there's a little bit of a rebuild that can go on with the Lakers, but I think it's too short of time. They're not going to get what they can. If I had to put money in LA, I would actually put it on the Clippers. They're at plus 750 right now. We got Kawhi Leonard coming back. So that's going to be a big thing. And Paul George, he wasn't healthy for a lot of the season last year. He's going to be coming back. Even without those two guys, they were still finished above 500, and they're well coached by Ty Lue. So if I had to pick an LA team to put some money on, it would definitely be the Clippers. But y'all know I'm already on the Warriors for next year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, it's time to get into my mocks locks, what is on my card for tonight. And Danny, I've got two plays for the Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. First up, I already talked to it in the beginning of the show. I'm taking Vasilevskiy saves over 33.5. This is at minus 125 on Caesars Sportsbook. He averages 30 saves a game. And in this series, he has hit over this mark in three of the four games. Now, he only had 23 saves in Game 2, but that's when they lost 7-0. There's no way that he's going to go out like that. So I'm going to take him over the 33.5 saves. Again, it's at minus 125. And Nate Dogg, Nathan McKinnon, over 4.5 shots on goals. It cashed for me on Monday. It's at minus 135. It is a little bit juicy here for a prop bet, but reason being, this prop has hit in 13. Actually, the prop is 13-6 in the playoffs. He had 22 shots in this series, 8, 6, 3, and 5, which means he's gone over this mark in everything but one game. So give me Nate Dogg over the 4.5 shots on goal to keep giving me money.
Katie, how am I not going to ride with you on Nate Dogg over 4.5 shots on goal? This has been free money, basically. I mean, the guy got 8 shots up last game. I even checked his game log. Okay, when is he missing it, right? Like you said, 13-6 over the course of 19 to this prop. When he's missing it, he's still getting 3-4 shots up. So it's not like people, you're looking, hey, where's Nate McKinnon tonight? No, he's there and he's going to be firing, you know, in a game-winning, game series clinching scenario. So I like that. I'll ride with you on that. And then in terms of Vasilevskiy, I certainly like that. You feel like the Avalanche are just going to keep getting shots up. I'm going to go to the other side of the ice, across to the other goalkeeper, and I'll actually take Darcy Kemper over 25.5 saves. Okay. With the Lightning back against the wall, back-to-back champions, you got to get shots up at the net. And the Avalanche have outshot them so significantly in almost every game. Finally, last game, the Lightning outshoot them. You want to stay in it. You got to shoot the puck. I'm going to take Kemper to block some shots that are coming his way tonight.
I like that, actually. And he had a big bounce back game. I will say the defense for the Avalanche has just been crazy. It's sometimes hard to even get the puck over on that side. But I do think, to your point, they're going to be shooting a lot tonight. They have to. Their backs are up against the wall. So I like Kemper as well. All right, my last pick is a little bit controversial. Maybe you're not going to be riding with me on this one. I'm taking the Cleveland Guardians money line versus the Red Sox. This is at plus 105. Reason being is, look, the Red Sox have been hot, hot, hot in the month of June. However, if you look at their schedule, they have enjoyed a relatively easy schedule with no AL East teams. Both of these teams are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Cleveland's slightly better against the spread. The Sox have been good on the road. They're 19-15 on the road this year. However, only seven of those 19 wins have come from teams with losing records. We've got Pivetta and Quantrill on the mound tonight. Sox, of course, have the edge there when it comes to pitching, but I feel like we're due for a little regression here, and I like Cleveland at plus money.
This is a spicy pick here, Katie. It's an interesting one because, like you mentioned, the Red Sox have been hot. Pivetta's pitching. He's been the model of consistency for them. Yet, what, they're only minus 125 favorites here? They're on a four-game win streak. They just swept the Tigers. The Guardians lost their last game 1-0. They just got blanked. Why are the Guardians only plus 105 home dogs here? I feel like this line should be further apart. So that's, you know, kind of fishy to me. And for that reason, more than anything, I would look towards the Guardians. Like you mentioned, matchup Pivetta versus Quantrill. Cal Quantrill's a guy that I actually bet on in Guardians games a bunch last year. He made me good money. The thing is, he can get hit hard. He's a sinker baller pitcher. So if that thing's sinking, it's like a bowling ball. People just hit it back into the ground. It's like the heaviest pitch to hit. If it's not sinking, it's there to get cracked. It's a fastball down Broadway. So we'll see if the sinker's sinking. If it is, look for double plays in the Red Sox rolling over the ball all night. I think the Guardians low-key look like a sneaky play here. So Red Sox bettors be warned. It might be a little trappy. Katie, I think you're onto something here.
To recap our mocks locks for the evening, we're taking Vasilevskiy over 33.5 saves. This is at minus 125. Bet number two, Nathan MacKinnon, Nate Dogg, over 4.5 shots on goal. This is at minus 135. And the Cleveland Guardians money line versus the Red Sox plus 105. Danny, thank you so much for joining the show today. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook.